So what's his advice? He goes on to speak about you can't serve God and mammon, money, possessions, riches, whatever form they might take. Set your hearts, he says. And you've got this image of a compass, eh? Swinging, set it, screw it onto the point, fix it, point it. Set your hearts where? On the reign of your Father. Now, we're getting to something really positive. It's God's love for me, but it's bigger than me. It's God's love for the world we're talking about. So we're talking about God has come to save the world. Jesus wasn't sitting there on the mountain of transfiguration being loved all the time. He had an urgent desire to let the world know it was loved. It's essentially missionary. It's essentially that. Oh, that's his whole mission. So set your hearts on the reign of your Father first. And on his justice. His justice. We're going to check what that kind of justice that is. And all the other things will be given you as well. Let me share for you a glorious statement, I think, by Teilhard de Chardin from his Divine Milieu, which in this century captures in a beautiful way what we're talking about tonight. Everything is needed. Because the world will never be large enough to provide our taste for action with the means of grasping God. We're very ambitious people, thank God. And we've got a broad heart, hopefully, and a large mind, and the world's too small for all of us. And thank God we've gone to the moon. And let's hope we go further. We can't stop any of this. We just can't. We don't want to, hopefully. Because our taste for action wants to grasp God with everything. And the world's not big enough for it, so it's a big thing. Our thirst for receiving, our love, in other words, I should be giving you his words. Our thirst for receiving with the possibilities of being invaded by him. God's not petty, God's not small, God's not in a church only, God's not wrapped up in little prayers and whatever. God is as large as life. And a man or a woman is a fool to cut life out in God's name. No, it's a big enterprise we're on, really big. And thank God, tired anyhow, among many, because everyone who's seen Jesus' heart was really, really big. Because he wanted to grasp God and be invaded by God with everything. However, the freedom to be able to be involved in everything only came to Jesus, to Francis of Assisi, to Teilhard de Chardin, to Mother Teresa of Calcutta, to anybody, because this second part of the paradox is there. Everything is needed. He says, nothing is needed for as the only reality which can satisfy us lies beyond the transparencies in which it is mirrored. Everything that fades away and dies between us will serve only to give reality to us with greater clarity. And so we see Jesus fighting for life, but willing to die. He's not willing to stay alive when the only way to do it is to stop loving, to stop believing, to stop caring for the poor. He's not going to hang on to a few more years of existence for that, because he's interested in life. And life, he said, comes from every word that comes from the Father. He trusted in something bigger than the present moment, bigger than the horizons of this world, something that death couldn't blot out. And so while he was ambitious for everything, he didn't hold on to or possess anything. And he let his mother go, and he let Peter go, and he let Judas go, and he let life go, because somehow he knew that all things would be given him in a way that supremely went beyond his own vision by the mystery that he called Abba. And so is it true to say that in fact everyone in this world is in need? I think it's quite obvious. We're all totally dependent on love. Everyone is. Whatever social position we might be in or whatever, we're all totally in need of love. However, some of us, some of the time, or all of the time, I don't know, each one has to analyse for oneself, I suppose, we're distracted from this deepest need of the human person. We're distracted by dreams of self-reliance, and we make decisions and build a lifestyle accordingly. And this gospel and Jesus call us the proud of heart, the rich. However, some, and the gospel story has a lovely group of them doing it, and you've known people doing this too, some accept their dependence, which is faith, and they live it out in their lifestyle, and they're the ones who experience the bliss of God and the love of God in their need. Conclude with our mission then, as disciples of Jesus. The mission that Jesus gave his friends was to do what he did. Matthew chapter 10, proclaim that the reign of God is close at hand. Proclaim to the whole world who God is, who Yahweh is, and the imminent redemption that's there. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and so on. Do what Jesus did. And in the last judgment, to those who did it, he says, I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. That's our mission. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome. You filled my need. You were an instrument of God's love to me. You made love flesh for me. You made his word flesh for me. You were the good news for me. You were God's yes to me. I was naked and you clothed me. If I'm naked and you don't clothe me, then you don't believe in God, not in Yahweh. Whatever idolatry you might be responsible for, it's not faith in Yahweh. Because Jesus, who believed in Yahweh, had to be like a son to his Abba. He did what Yahweh does. I always do what pleases him. So he, by virtue of his being a son, had this response, which involved essentially caring, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. I was in prison and you came to me. Blessed of my Father. The early church gives us a human, imperfect, but at least an effort to do this. And I'd like to perhaps read conclusion for myself here, but Paul says, at least his ideal is, that there are no more distinctions between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female. All of you, merely by belonging to Christ, are the posterity of Abraham. In that early church, there was a dream there of building a world which would be good news to everyone, whatever social class they'd be in. And the demands, as I've tried to share tonight, from all people would be different depending on where you started from. The goal was a harmonious community, a church, a harmony community, in which everyone would have their own gift and the whole orchestra would be very beautiful and there'd be love there, felt, experienced, demonstrated. And it must have been pretty good, because of the incredible spread of the church. It must have been a very convincing experience. For what it's worth, may I say as a conclusion, our world too is labouring and overburdened. Our world too is seeking rest. We are desperately hoping for good news, especially the good news that our deepest need, our need for love, has an answer. The answer trumpeted forth by many has to do with possessions, as though they could fill our need. were encouraged to be independent, to be self-made, self-reliant, self-centered. It seems obvious that such directions lead only to isolation and loneliness and alienation. The teaching of Jesus challenges and enlightens us as much as it did his contemporaries. He invites us to know that we all have the one Father who hears our cry, who knows our need, and is answering us. He invites us to be children of this Abba, and so in our relations with each other to learn to be mutually interdependent, in other words, to love. Those who listened to Jesus formed communities in which spiritual and material riches were shared with the object of meeting everyone's need in love. These communities were open to all without regard to racial, religious, or economic background. And the Catholic nature of their response has characterized authentic Christianity ever since. There is an urgent need, again in our times, for disciples of Jesus to work out ways of sharing their spiritual and material gifts in ways appropriate to today's condition. For only a community organized in love to meet need can bring to us the good news of God's love. In the ultimate analysis, we are all poor in that we all totally depend on love for our survival. The tragedy is when we do not recognize our need, or, having recognized it, we seek to meet it in distracting ways. Jesus, the Son of God, taught us that the only hope we have is in God, our Abba, and that our basic response can be only that of a child, a response of trust.